I'll start again.
I would.
This is Radio Freedom.
Hello, this is show 33 of Radio Clash, and it's the...
It's almost June the 21st, so it's almost summer. Also, Magic Mushrooms are going to be banned, so it's the Midsummer Magic Mushroom Madness Special.
We'll edit that later.
So are you going to play a tune?
I'm going to play a tune.
But before I do, I've never told you this, Tim, but every day I love you more and more, even though you are a fucking whore. Oh yes, a whore, for sure. I think you know the score. You drop your drawers at first sign of intercourse. You know the lead singer of the Kaiser Chiefs?
Yeah.
He's very slim, very supple, very young looking. What's his secret? I predict a diet. Anyway, do you want to play your first tune?
Yes, it's a first tune is a mashup. You haven't heard this, and it's a very good mashup. It's Kasabian and De La Soul. You like?
Yeah.
How you doing? Sorry you can't. back to you.
That was DJ Zebra with that processed ring. Now. And that was, of course, Della Snow, Ring Ring Hey Hey with Kasabian Process Beats. And I'm not a massive fan of Kasabian, but that works really, really well. And it's also it's a song from our youth, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Song from our youth.
Yeah.
Song of our youth.
Mm.
So we're going to segue into.
Oh yeah. Oh no, it's not a biggie. It's just an observation I had. It's like the Doctor Who, the Bad Wolf references. Have you noticed how many scatological references there are in pop songs these days? Throughout time, littered throughout time and space.
Well, like Erasure's Two-Ring Circus.
Yeah. No, yeah. But more specifically, the word douche. Okay. Exhibit A.
Douche.
Did you hear that, or do you want me to play it again?
They say douche.
Listen. Oh. Right, listen. Get your listening ears on, okay?
Douche.
Does that say the word douche or not?
It sounds like douche, yeah.
Okay. All right, this is example two. Okay, listen to this.
Never do the things that they wish they could do so.
Douche so well.
Oh. What? You talk all over it. Listen, right again.
Never do the things that they wish they could do so.
Does that say douche? Okay, this is the biggie.
Wow.
See, that was it.
All these douche
okay,
references.
Okay, right, I told you it wasn't a big item. It was just this little observation thing. It's like, you know, it's like, are they trying to tell us something?
There's a lot of douching going on.
No, maybe pop music is shit these days. I don't know.
Okay. What's the time check, Kirk?
The time check is 6:45 on Saturday, the 18th of June. And we're in for the biggest episode of Doctor Who like ever.
Turn it down, because I'm not sure I can hear you about that.
Oh, sorry. Hello?
The time check is?
Well, we've still got 15 minutes to go.
So. 15 minutes to go. Yes. Way.
Okay.
So, well, what's your discussion about? Well, we're going to discuss a little bit about what we think is going to happen, and then we're going to actually then.
Well, we had this idea to discuss the kind of resurgence of all things science fiction over the past couple of months. Doctor Who, we had Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy coming back, and of course, Episode 3. So, what we decided to do, because it's very topical, we're actually going to talk about Doctor Who a bit. Then watch the episode and get slightly drunk while we're watching it, and then we can, you know, talk about it a bit more afterwards, and all will be revealed and, you know, stuff like that. Because at the moment, I'm fucking really excited. I can't believe it.
Wait.
I've not been this excited. I don't think even when I was about 5 or 6 was I this excited about Doctor Who.
So who do you think Bad Wolf is?
Who do I think Bad Wolf is? I don't know. Why did you say it was Jack, by the way? What did you text me and say it was Jack?
Oh, it's because in a boys' interview, because, of course, the actor John Barrowman is gay.
Yeah,
it's kind of like they've played around with that, but it's Pink Paper, and they said that he was brought in to disrupt the TARDIS, disrupt the Doctor and the Rose. It specifically,
but if he's
saying,
gay, he's not going to disrupt the TARDIS. He's going to clean everything up and tidy everything up, isn't he?
Yeah.
And arrange flowers.
Well, there's no flower arranging yet in Doctor Who. There's been a lot of tight-fitting shirts with nipples, I seem to remember, in the last episode.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be Adam.
And a lot of flirting between him and the Doctor.
Yeah, a little bit. You're like, you know, you never ring. Was it? Oh, yeah, you just have to, you have to buy me a drink first. I thought that was quite good.
Oh, but I'm worth it.
So I think it's Adam. I think Emperor Dalek is Adam.
It's been a very kind of slow week at work for me, so I use my time wisely and constructively and looked up any kind of Bad Wolf reference on the internet that I could find, and I think that was Russell T. Davies's plan, actually, to
Keep off the internet. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
like,
right,
he
yeah.
just knows everyone's going to
yeah,
be
like,
on the internet.
Don't think of fluffy pink elephants. What's the first thing you think
of? Don't
think
of a white bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but I'm really, really excited by it. Other suggestions have been that Bad Wolf is actually the Master, who's like got inside the TARDIS, and he's actually the Doctor or something weird like that, and it's actually the TARDIS that's trying to warn people by putting all these messages everywhere. She's actually trying to warn Rose about the Doctor, and the Doctor isn't all he seems.
Yeah, Rose in a red hooded
hoodie.
Yeah, because she's a happy slappy, isn't she? So, cause, yeah, cause
that's, that's what she's going to do to Adam the Emperor Dalek when she sees him next.
She's going to give him a slap, yeah.
video it. Send it to all her mates.
Yeah, because I mentioned that briefly in the last show, but I didn't mention the whole thing about a red hooded thing. Yeah, because yeah. There's millions of them. The other one is, what's it, the Doctor is a Master, which I think is it would be a master stroke, so to speak. That would be so cool if the Doctor... But as he said...
That would be an audacious coup de grace but the series.
Coup de grace, ooh.
Is that the right phrase?
No, remember. It is.
Denouement.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of $10 words here.
Yeah. La voiture.
So it's going to be... what was the other ones? The Valyard comes back, whoever the Valyard is.
It wasn't the one that was Linda Billingham. It was refers to some saint in Trial of the Time Lord. But I don't think that's going to happen. Do you know why? Because Russell T. Davies does not want to alienate all these new viewers, is he?
But then he said that apparently the 60s people were going to like it.
Yeah,
so.
It's got to be the Emperor Dalek then, isn't it? Great big fuck-off thing.
But everyone's going to go, who's the Emperor Dalek, though?
Oh, I don't know.
So, and we'll feel you in. No, we'll fill you in. What am I talking about? We will fill you in on what happens in Doctor Who later.
Oh, so. Yeah, like, I don't know, like they care.
Yeah, they're all in the States. Shit.
They're probably skipping this bit, aren't they?
Say one thing. What was your response to Doctor Who? Because we'll forget, won't we? We'll forget.
Oh, yeah, well, the big response.
Yeah, the big response was.
Oh! Oh! It was like a fucking televisual orgasm!
That's the one I wanted.
That was the one. And we'll talk about Rose as well. We're doing the Bridget Bardot with the beams out of her eyes. Oh! Oh! My God!
Oh! I'm gonna leave that distorted just to kill everyone. I think you're all dead now.
Is that the store or was it blue?
I don't know. A little red thing there. That was Gibson Brothers with Cuba, and a very sunny song for a very sunny day. It's the hottest weekend of the year, Or as Kirk said...
As records began.
Since records began.
That's a cliche.
And it's amazing how we're all kind of just vegging out incredibly hot and incredibly laid back.
Yeah.
Partly for temperature reasons, partly for chemical reasons. But certainly, I think the temperature's got a lot to do with it. Everyone's like, ugh, I can't move. Mm. So if it's very laid back, this podcast, that's why.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to say is what we are... We are... trying a experiment. We are the first mushroom cast, definitely, and we're going to basically record what we are doing, but not the full 4 hours.
No,
edited highlights.
I said that. Yeah, basically, you don't want to subject your listeners to all that. Not the whole fucking 4 hour trip. What you want to do is edit it down to the best 5 minute highlights. It's like psilocybin, the platinum collection. And the extras, of course, will be available on the DVD if you're on the full trip.
Oh, how are we doing? Why is that started for you?
I'm very scientific about these things. I have to time everything. You know, how long it takes to kick in, peak effect, when the effect starts to wear off, and when the come down kicks in. Well, all important. You know, if you want to plan a proper weekend. And what I'm going to do is actually plot all these values in a graph in Excel, and it will be available on Tim's website.
Yes, for, definitely.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Like scientific
eye. How
are
you feeling?
Look around you. Wherever you are, look around
look
you.
Look around you.
Actually, I really don't want to look around me at this precise moment.
Why?
The curtains appear to be breathing. Yeah, I know they're moving in the wind, but, you know, it's...
That is just so not happening for me, which is scary.
Oh, no.
Wait.
Don't tell me I'm more susceptible to a side or a psilocybin than you are.
The psilocybermen, yeah.
Psilocybin.
Where?
Fuck.
Time.
Whatever you do...
Don't try and move.
Do not try and socialise with the neighbours. Having a barbecue en masse in the garden.
And I shouldn't even look at the neighbours because I don't know if it's a good idea. Them playing non-stop dub ska reggae is not very
really
helpful.
Isn't helpful. Right. And it's the perfect music, but in the other way it's like... That's not what you want. It's like the universe is conspiring against us. Oh yeah, and you go. I better switch the eye river on. You go a river of eyes. You do not want images like that in your head.
No.
You know, I said one of the things they do. It's milder on this. They mess about with your perceptions of time.
Mm.
Do you know how long it's actually been since we took them? I checked my watch.
No.
30 seconds. All right, I'm joking. That's pretty. I think I kind of built that joke up and the suspense pretty well, considering my mind is left in somewhere else outside the universe. Fucking hell.
You're right.
Yeah. Look on your faces.
And even your little gnome faces, yeah.
This is nice, but I think you and the microphone need to be alone together.
Yeah.
I'm really shy.
Why are you feeling really shy?
I need to go and release my inner leprechaun over here.
Oh, dear. This is going to sound like shit when I listen to it tomorrow, aren't I?
I think everyone inside them has got their own kind of animal spirit guide, you know, like the Native American Indians, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like, because this is Wilf the Wolf, this is obviously my spirit guide. What's yours? I see you more of an aardvark or a canoe.
And deep in thought, the verdict was in, and for the loyal fans, the tension showed. Michael Jackson himself was being trailed by road and from the sky. He left Neverland behind, not knowing if he'd return.
Your
attempting to commit a lewd act upon a minor child, administering an intoxicating agent to assist in the commission of a felony as charged in count 7 of the indictment. Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty.
Justice was done. The man's innocent, he always was.
Not guilty.
We could change the world tomorrow. This could be a better place. If you don't like what I'm saying, then I won't just slap my face. McCartham,
so happy.
McCartham,
free. So happy.
McCartham,
free. So happy.
McCartham,
free.
Don't snap your fingers at me, lady.
That was the yeah right mix.
I like that little bit with a not guilty, the 19 reference. So that was Michael Jackson Bad with Chen CC, and it's very funny. I love the way they did the echoing with all the bits of the with him yelping and saying, "Oh, he's not guilty," you know, not guilty. So what's your opinion?
I like that too. I like that more than you.
More than me?
Yeah.
Are you getting competitive now?
Yeah.
I like more than you. Oh, fight you, fight you. So what did you think about what I was going to ask you is about Michael Jackson, guilty or not?
Actually, be completely truthful. Yeah, no, I don't think there's anything sexual. Yes, I think he probably did ply kids with alcohol and he did get kids into bed. But I really think he's trying to reclaim his lost childhood. I actually think it's quite innocent in a way. I don't think there's any sexual shenanigans. So it depends. The court case, it depends, you know, on your point of view. If you thought that was wrong, or if you the fact that he did or didn't do sexual things is wrong, you know.
But maybe he just wants a cuddle.
I think so. I think that's what it is. But the thing is, I kind of always knew who'd get off. It was too much. He's too much of an icon. People are too biased.
You would get off, not with the children. It's just too easy, isn't it? Mm. That's one of the things. It's just too easy to have a go at Michael Jackson. But it's so fun.
Mm.
Time.
Tim is going to do edited highlights of last night's...
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Because basically we thought it'd be an interesting social experiment. And what we ended up with was large amounts of kind of blank space.
As we felt like at the time.
Tim, get me out of here.
Well, it's very much lots of nice sort of sound seeing tours. It's a sound seeing tour of taking mushrooms. Basically, sounds like just recording with loads of birds tweeting in the background and loads of chatter from outside, but nothing else.
Yeah. Mind you, there's nothing like getting the dosage wrong, is there?
I know. Okay. What we took was Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah.
And
what it is, why I chose that, because I am a fully qualified shaman, in case you're in any doubt.
Have you got a boss drum?
And what was I going to say? Interrupted.
About philosophers.
Yes. The reason I chose that was that they are the more psychedelic of all the varieties. Okay, there's other ones. The interesting point is, we were talking about this earlier, the others are actually named where they come from. So you have Colombian, you have Mexican, you have Thai, you have English. And you've got Philosopher's Stones. Now, where do they come from?
They're the forbidden fruit.
They come from Voldemort's arse, really,
yeah,
don't they?
Voldemort,
and they
yeah.
certainly fucking taste like that, I tell
and
you.
So that's where J.K. Rowling got the name
I
from.
I think so,
yeah.
I think so. Anyway, these the other varieties are usually a bit more giggly, a bit more kind of a social thing, and that's what I thought was going to happen with Philosopher's Stones, you know, a bit more visual. You get all the repeating geometric patterns and all that, and, you know, your hearing becomes a lot more kind of acute.
I get that normally.
But maybe the dosage was wrong, because
yeah.
it was giggly to start off with, it was giggly at the end, but about an hour into it, and for about an hour, I needed a lot of Kirk time on my own. It's like, there I was, you know, I sent you away, you know, go off and giggle in the microphone, and basically, there I was. I was just trapped in my own head with nothing but my own brain for company for about an hour.
But I wasn't giggling much either. Because it was an effort to do anything, because it's like your jaw was sort of seized up. And this is fun, by the way. It was fun, but it was...
We're obviously not selling it. Obviously, you know, We do actually work for the Magic Mushroom Marketing Board. We're not doing a good job at the moment of selling it.
But it tasted, well, basically taking it, it tasted like shit. It tasted like shit. But they weren't too bad to eat. They were kind of like almost like nutty, but they were a bit kind of, the actual aftertaste was horrible. It kept coming back. Your jaw was like,
it was like a Ferrero Rocher, but with an active added ingredient.
And like the jaw was sort of seized up a bit. But apart from that, what happened is I had very much audio hallucinations. Well, not so much hallucinations as I was hearing stuff that wasn't there, although I'm not totally sure. All the sounds from down below turned into some kind of mad dub reggae echo chamber thing.
Bizarrely enough, what they seemed to play was early Police, and this is when the... Can I just say one word? Sting?
Yeah.
they seemed to... I think it was like the first album when the Police were still being all kind of...
Synchronicity, I think it was.
No, that was the last one. That was when their crap stadium...
It was one rock
sellout band, yeah. They were playing, like, I think the first album when the Police were still trying to do this kind of reggae punk thing, and they're actually quite good, I thought. But it sounded like what they were playing was the album really stripped down, bare. But we weren't sure. It might be the album, and it was just our brains that were remixing it.
I think it was our brains remixing, because what was happening is that the birds started singing along to it.
It was stripped down to, you know, bass, guitar, funky guitar, drums, and loads of reverb.
Yeah, loads of reverb. But what was happening is they were echoing along to it. So it was like it was like they would say stuff like... I mean, at one point, we couldn't really hear distinct words, but they said, like, mushroom. We'd be like, mushroom. And it was like everything was going around in some kind of 1 second, 2 second loop. So you'd like get the chorus, but it'd keep repeating. And then the birds would join in, and then some other noise would join in and start repeating. Someone would bang a door in the building.
Yeah. And it would just feel like, it. You would be at one with the building.
You would feel it. And you'd feel at one with the building. But it would actually join the whole kind of, that whole kind of tape loop.
Mm.
It was really, and that was really cool. It was like having a mashup in your brain.
Mm.
Great.
And what we were saying at the time, I think part of this was actually recorded, but it was kind of late evening, and it was sunny, and then it suddenly clouded over. And the actual change in light and weather and atmosphere really affected your mood.
Mm, yeah.
You could actually physically feel your emotions like really shift when, you know, the clouds came over. Then the clouds went, and then it was like a really nice kind of clear sky with the moon out and all that.
Yeah, that was. I remember being very intrigued by the moon.
Mm.
But certainly going when in natural light was really odd. I went into the toilet with the light on.
No, in natural light.
Unnatural light, sorry. And it was, that was just freaky. It was best to be in the dark. It was like, because you just, it just didn't seem right. I felt sick. I actually felt physically sick around artificial light. And I got to see sort of little kind of like almost like little worm sort of hallucinogenic patterns when I closed my eyes. I didn't see many visual things, unusually for an artist. I didn't see, apart from seeing kind of patterns in the trees outside, but most of the times it was just like, I described it in the recording as Chinese brocade. I understand what it was. It was almost like little tiny repeating worms, almost like those little magic eye pictures. And we looked for a kaleidoscope.
Mm.
It's like that. Mm. And it was like, and they were sort of all sort of bright green and sort of that sort of what's it called? Dayglow. Dayglow green and sort of red. It was quite odd, really. Mm. All these sort of little intricate patterns.
I kind of got that, but more than that, I rebirthed at one point, so that's quite cool.
You rebirthed?
I rebirthed.
You became a dolphin?
Yeah. That was really weird. One of the effects, I mean, with this, but even more so on LSD, is actually kind of it's like all your memories ever have been filed in your brain, and someone is flicking through in this card index system going, yes, that memory, that memory, that memory, and you get all these kind of things you've never thought about for absolutely ages.
I didn't get that. I was very much external around things that were going on around me rather than thinking too much. In fact, I was thinking more on emotions rather than thinking thoughts or memories.
What mushrooms and LSD do is make the brain work in a much more rawer way. So all these kind of filters you've built up over your lifetime, you know, these social filters and filters for protecting your ego and all this kind of get turned off or kind of lowered in volume. So, but it's good, you know. It's like one of the reasons we did this, really, this particular weekend, is that theoretically mushrooms are becoming criminalised in Britain end of June. Mm-hmm. Although there was a headline in the paper the other day which kind of suggested that's not going to be the case. It's a bit of confusion at the moment. But
you went and asked the mushroom sellers.
Yeah.
What you got, like, three different opinions.
Yeah. First of all, yes, they are definitely being banned. The other one was no. The bill comes into effect at the beginning of July, but it might take a while to have effect. Like the mushrooms. the other one was no. That's complete rubbish, and we're going to sell them anyway. But it's kind of important. The thing is, I mean, people worry about mushrooms because if the dosage is wrong, then yeah, you can do kind of crazy stuff. But on the other hand, there's either three things can happen. You get all giggly, so it's a very social drug with mates, or you get all the audio and visual stuff, so it's like a real eye opener, literally. And thirdly, you actually do get this kind of insight into your own kind of character. It's weird, all this stuff, the way I'm talking about it, there's absolutely no way you can talk about it without talking kind of 60s kind of cliches and all that, but it is true. It's weird trying to describe it to someone who hasn't actually used it, because it just sounds like kind of cliche, ad infinitum, but it really isn't.
As I discovered when we listened back to the recordings from last night, it was a bit like, yeah, this doesn't really make much sense, really. It's a bit funny, but it's like...
Yeah.
It wasn't really a good way of communicating the experience through even describing it. It just seemed a bit silly.
Mm.
So, it seems to be a lot of confusion about whether they're going to be available. But the thing about making them illegal the thing is they grow naturally. They grow. Mm. They grow in the ground. It's like, how can you make something which literally grows down the bottom of your garden illegal?
Mm.
It's like making dandelions illegal. Mm. It's like. You know, it's not like that. It used to be illegal, though, they're being prepared, but now it's illegal to actually either own them or pick them, or even have them growing naturally. What are they going to do?
Well, that's just a nanny state for you, anyway.
Well, they use fungicide on them.
All right, can I play a tune? Is it one of mine?
It's one of yours. Okay. One of yours.
Fade me up.
Fade me up, bunny.
This is the song you vetoed for fucking months.
Yeah.
And your listeners are going to say, yes, we know why now, but I don't care. It's a bit of indie sliced gold. Chins on a drip fed, leopard skin bed spread, housewife superstar, a feather boa constrictor.
Oh,
That was My Life Story with Strumpet. And I have to say, unlike the Cuba horns, which sounded really MIDI but were real, those are MIDI horns that sounded quite real. So I'm a bit confused, really, about what's...
But they were MIDI.
They were MIDI.
Experience the MIDI Motown madness.
They were MIDI.
The magic of merchandising.
They were MIDI, okay, Buck.
Okay.
I'm right behind you, Buck. Kit, I need you now. Michael, two men are approaching a location from behind the building.
They're shagging. What are they doing?
Hang on. I've got to cue something up. Talk. Oh.
Say something.
Done. Right, okay. Right. I wanted to play that for a long time, and you just wouldn't allow me it for some reason. I don't know why. But we saw that played live. Do you remember where?
Oh, they weren't playing Pulp, were they?
No, they weren't. You know.
Oh, the Loop Music Awards.
Tim used to work for Loop. And do you know what? There was this evening where My Life Story, who did that tune, just heard you did, listen ears, and...
Confused you are.
Then a Jedi will you be.
And they were like the highlight act, because all the other acts that evening were like these... how can you do rabbit ears? Quote... start quote, up-and-coming bands, close quote.
We've never heard of again.
That's the point. So, and there had loads of kind of semi-famous people kind of judging, whatever. But this is the thing, because when I wanted to play trumpet, I immediately thought of the Loot Music Awards 2000. I thought it was 2001, it's even further back. Okay, we're even older than we thought we were. And I thought, well, whatever happened to them? Shall I look them up on the internet? And do you know what? I couldn't be bothered. I remembered I still had the programme which we have here.
Ooh.
Okay, this is what I want to highlight. You know pretentious music writing? You know when PR companies from record companies... PR people from record companies send little bulletins out? Okay, let's... Shameless. Have you ever heard of Shameless?
No, never heard of them again, no.
Okay, well, these are the bands we should have heard of, but we never did. Shameless. Pop.
That was a... they were really shit.
Lindsay Thompson, who's obviously trying to be the new Charlene Spiteri. Oh, I really apologise. If any of these people are listening, I'm sorry. Moja.
They had some enemy success. And I remember them. They were actually quite good, Super Delta 3.
Super Delta.
But she had really bad candy floss.
That's a bloke.
Hair.
That's a bloke, isn't it?
No, it's a woman.
No, look.
Adam's apple.
Yeah, but it's a bloke, isn't it? Just because they've got that kind of wig thing.
I'm not
going
sure.
On. Okay, all right. Yeah. I think it's a bloke. Okay. Oh, My Life Story.
Story.
And that's what happened to them in 2000. But anyway, here we go. I just want to... Lindsay Thompson, best solo artiste. Lindsay has a beautiful voice, and combined with original lyrics and melodies, she will have a profound and lasting effect on you. Did that ever happen?
No.
Lindsay Thompson was born...
Lindsay Thompson
was born on Christmas Day, 1970,
and
comes from the Midlands. It's like, that's nothing to do with that fucking musical.
Lindsay Thompson was born on Christmas Day and was a St. Etienne lyric.
She was the original inspiration for I Was Bored on Christmas Day. She is often to be seen in venues in London such as the Cashmere Club, 12 Bar Club and West 1-4.
And the local strip joint.
Okay. And the other ones I've never heard of. What's this? Okay, well, this is like, we're not a boy band, but it's like, they're trying to be the new... Oh, I just farted there.
Steps.
Okay. Beth Vaucan Group. Pop are a mixed group of young, enthusiastic performers who are out having fun. An attitude which is reflected in their music and stage performances. Pop's influences come from soul, rock, hip-hop,
jazz,
Latin, styles of music that will you be able to
perform to pick out their vibrant
acoustic
performance.
Yeah, rubbish.
Exactly.
Never heard of them again. I just wanted to bring that to your attention, the fact that...
That is so funny, because I remember that.
Up and coming... Bands who we've never heard of again.
Ow. Brings out the violence in you. Obviously.
It's a shite business, isn't it?
I know. It's hard business, but we still have to do it. And we're still hard as well, but that's something else.
What? Okay, can I just play something for you?
Yes.
Okay,
no.
Which you might not find funny, but I don't care. I find it hilarious. A couple of years back, someone I used to work with, a mate of his, so, you know... Get your bloody Venn diagrams out, trying to plot where this is coming from. He did this Garage Piss Sake song. I find it quite amusing. You might not. I don't care, but here it is anyway.
Wait a second. Wait a second.
What?
I picked up this tune this morning, man. It's wicked. It's wicked, Gaze. I'm telling you. Put it on.
Yeah, man. Where is it?
Listen to this, man.
Bibbidi-bibbidi-bomb.
Bibbidi bibbidi bomb. Bibbidi bibbidi scribbidi bibbidi bomb. Bibbidi bibbidi bomb. Bibbidi bibbidi bomb. Bibbidi bibbidi scribbidi bibbidi bomb. Yeah, can you give us a Big Mac, large fries and a Coke? Coke, 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 Coke.
Sorry, Lav, could you say that again? I didn't catch the last bit.
And a Coke. Bibbidi bibbidi bomb. Bibbidi bibbidi bomb. Bibbidi bibbidi scribbidi bibbidi bomb. Bibbidi bibbidi.
So, do you want me to...
Oh, yeah, it's just an addendum to the bit that Tim is going to splice in before or earlier, depending on how his mood takes him, about the our little discussion about the experiences on magic mushrooms. What was really funny last night was as it started to... the effects started to die down, Tim checked his email and he got the most fantastic bit of spam ever, which like, freaked us out even more. Actually, we really shouldn't have fucking spent 25 quid down Camden. We should have just like spent an evening in front of the email. Go on, Tim.
And it goes something like this. It's from Francis Z. Jones III.
That sounds like a made-up name.
It's really genuine. It says, "Good day, sir. One of my friend introduced me to this stuff. Online quality medicines. These are of general type. He got an exclusive link. You can use this too. These have convincing princess. Few minutes spent on this stuff will bring joy. So check this. This link will inspire it in 48 hours. So please visit it!" Exclamation mark. My personal light.
It's not even a link. But...
it's not even a link. Yeah. Which you can use too. Arachidonic, blah, 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 whatever. You need not thank me for this.
We won't.
Just enjoy and let your wallet stay heavy. and the piece resistance is sincerely Ron Jones. Of course, it's confusing because it's not the same guy. Yeah. They aren't enjoying running. I didn't dislike cooking at home. What's that about?
Okay, the only thing I can think of is that that's Jar Jar Binks under an assumed name.
Well, he's basically got away from the empire and is now producing spam emails. Yeah.
You know what? I mean, it doesn't have quite the same impact now that we're sober.
But it's still pretty funny.
Last night, oh god, that was the funniest thing I ever heard ever.
Now we're going to have a little thing about our secret loves, our secret shame.
Shameful songs, basically. We had this idea of actually doing a whole show about it, but no, because listeners would just tune off in their droves. So what we're going to do is just an occasional thing, every couple of shows, every 3-4 shows, whatever, where you play a song you really like, but you know you really shouldn't like.
Yes, certainly it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
And so I'm going first. This will be a confessional for me.
Yeah.
And my band is the, if you remember them, the Ra Band.
Yeah, I do not condone the use of the Ra Band, except in the War Against Terror.
Except for medicinal purposes, you're allowed to use the Ra Band.
Yeah.
And they are the cheesiest of the cheese. And I couldn't find the one that you really liked, which was... Hunger for Your...
The title says it all. I Hunger for Your Jungle Love. Isn't that the worst title ever? The Ra Band, this is what the Ra Band do. If you remember back to the late 70s, early 80s, Buck Rogers in the 25th century, him and Tweaky and Wilma used to dance to what they thought was future music, which is like this really tacky disco. The Ra Band provided the soundtrack for that series.
It's usually badly vocoded... Badly put together, kind of stuff you get on sort of, you know, when you first ever get your MIDI sound card and you sort of, there's a demo song, it usually sounds like the Ra Band.
That's exactly it, yeah.
Yeah, and but the strange thing is, if you listen to this song, it's of course, you realise that actually this is Alison Goldfrapp's latest song. This is the
She owes her career to this. Yeah. Well, at least 2 years ago, you listen to it.
That was Raband with The Crunch. And hey, dig those crazy synth lines.
Come all aboard the strip machine.
It does sound like, doesn't it?
Even is that conclusive synth- proof that grade one piano exercises can storm the charts? I think we should have a jingle for when we do this feature in the future.
What will the jingle
should be? Cheesy, turn to face the cheese. Cheesy. Okay, now what?
Now it's your choice.
Okay, this is my choice. This is my shameful song. Hit it, Tim. Only joking. It's even worse.
With an annoying smile, when I saw that girl upon your arm, I knew she'd won your heart with a fatal charm. I said, soul boy, let's hit the town. I said, hey boy, what's with the frown? But in return, all you could say was, hi, George, meet my fiance.
Guns, guns, heaven's on fire. Crazy ladies, keep them on the run. Wise guys, realize there's danger in emotional ties. See, single and free, no fears, no tears, what I want to be. If you're happy with a nappy, then you're in for fun. But you're here, and you're there. But there's guys like you just everywhere. And looking back on the good old days, well, this young gun says,
fortune pays.
Young guns, have a time fun. Crazy ladies, keep them on the run. Wise guys, realize there's danger in emotional ties. See, single and free, no fears, no tears. What I want to be, one, two, take a look at you.
Fun and everything was fine. I remember when we used to have a good time. Partners in crime. Tell me that's all in the past, and I will gladly walk away. Tell me that you're happy now. Turning my back, nothing to say.
You tell this jerk to take a hike. There's something about that boy I don't like.
Well, sugar, he don't mean the things he said.
Just get him out of my way, cause I'm seeing red. We got plans to make, we got things to buy. You're wasting time on some creepy guy.
Shut up, chick, that's a friend of mine. Just watch your mouth, babe, you're out of line.
Oh, yeah. That was Young Guns, of course, it's by Wham.
And that's why we have to reassess boy bands of the 80s, because they were so much fucking more superior than the crap you get today. Okay, all right. This is the bit about science fiction. We're talking about new science fiction resurgence. You know, Batman Begins maybe a bit, but definitely Hitchhikers and Doctor Who and Star Wars. But I've got a sense of deja vu. Why would that be, Tim? Why have I got a sense of deja vu about this bit?
I think it was mushrooms. You dreamed it.
No. I think what it is, you're not the consummate professional you think you are. We actually rabbited on for 20 minutes last night and it wasn't recording. Hello. Well, how many great podcasts have been lost to the ether?
Quite a lot, actually, quite a lot. I've lost whole podcasts to being distorted. I have never actually lost anything doing not being recording, but because I'm anal like that.
Yeah, but it's okay. That's Do you know what? It's slightly more sober and in control than last night's little rant, which was probably a good thing. All right, so Doctor Who.
It was amazing, though. The whole thing with oh, by the way. Do we include spoilers or not?
Yeah,
okay. Be warned, we're going to talk about it if you don't want to. Turn away now. Yeah. Rose was Bad Wolf. It was like, what? No one would have got that at all.
Right, no, this is the thing. When I watched it, for the past week, there's been all this speculation on the internet about what is Bad Wolf, what are the references, what's happening. There's been people thinking about all these characters coming back from the past, or maybe the Doctor could be Bad Wolf and he's the Master, really, and all this kind of stuff. And the thing is, when I watched it, the episode does not have the twists of speculation you think it does. It's quite linear. It doesn't have really big twists. But that doesn't matter. That is not what makes the episode memorable. The fact is, a character you think you know turns out to... you see it in a different light, and boy...
She kicks up.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Do you know what happened? I looked on the internet last night if we watched when you were sleeping, and they played three different endings which were all wrong.
Oh, right, okay.
To the press. One was Jack was the Master, and they actually shot these and played them.
Oh, I didn't
know. And they didn't tell them which one of the three they saw.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're running them all three at once. Most of the times they played one of the three to the press. Mm. So the press, if they printed spoilers, would have got it totally wrong.
The thing is, science fiction genre TV has become a lot darker since then. I kind of wanted it to return and be a lot darker in nature, like something like The X-Files or something like that.
Or Batman.
Yeah. And it didn't. But when I accepted it for what it is, it's a fantastic programme. Basically, yeah. Russell T. Davies always knew that it had to have a family audience, you know, kids included, as well as adults and diehard fans, and so it had to be shown at 7 o'clock on a Saturday evening, you know, peak viewing time before everyone goes off down the pub, basically.
All the kids go raving.
And the kids go off down the pub and start happy slapping and all that kind of stuff. Once I accepted it for what it is, it was a fantastic programme. And for people who haven't seen it, for people in other countries who are yet to watch it, the first episode is good, but it gets better. Each episode gets better and better and better. Yeah. And believe me, they are building to something. The humour is spot on. Absolutely spot on.
Apart from the last episode, what's your favourite episode?
Possibly the Dalek one, the one set during the Blitz, because that was genuinely creepy.
That was genuinely scary. My favourites were probably the Unquiet Dead, which is the third one, which is a Mark Gatiss episode. He of the League of Gentlemen, and would be. I wasn't so fond about Dalek because it was a bit too kind of I was going to say romantic, too emotional, a bit too kind of.
Oh, well, no, it was good because we saw it in a different way.
Yeah,
they needed to change everything. But anyway, I mean, what else? Hitchhikers. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Well, Hitchhiker's, as people have heard on the show, when we've played you the trailer before.
What, did you slag it off by chance?
And when I mentioned it, I said it was absolutely shit, and I was really, and as I said in that text to you, I almost walked out of the film. But
I told you, so when we watched the trailer, it was a thought that I had, and I thought it doubly so for you. Lunchtime doubly so. That what we're doing is comparing it to like the BBC original, which we know we love, and which you can like, fucking quote, you know, add infinitum, can't we?
But Major Grief probably was the Zaphod, the American surfer dude, Zaphod.
Yeah. No, I think that fitted it perfectly.
But I think it was the slapstick aspect, the Keystone Cops in Space thing I didn't like.
Yeah.
It seemed to be a strange kind of hybrid of, well, there was lots of references for the fans, which people who hadn't seen or read or heard the series wouldn't get. But it wasn't kind of a sort of 101 introduction to the Hitchhiker's universe totally, because of all the references. So people who haven't seen it before would go, oh, I don't understand that. People who have seen it before are going, oh, I understand that, but they've done it differently. And so it's kind of, I felt it didn't really know which audience it was going for, whether it was going for true fans, or whether it was going for a new audience.
One of the things I was going to say was Mos Def was a revelation. I thought, you know, he's this kind of rapper, so you've got to keep up this particular image, haven't
isn't
you?
Isn't the planet in Star Wars? Oh, that's Mos Eisley.
No, did you correct me yesterday? I thought it was Mos Def.
But Mos, apparently it's Mos.
All right. This isn't the thing. That, gladly, full prefect, you know, Mos Def apparently still wasn't from Guildford after all. You know, I thought it was going to be from the fucking Bronx or something like that. So they kept that kind of Surrey poshness to it, didn't they?
Yes.
Mos Def.
We're going to talk about Star Wars.
This is the thing. The whole first 45 minutes, they were chasing someone called General Grievous. Nice name. And the thing is, it's like we're watching it in the cinema, and it's too much CGI. You actually felt physically sick. Your eyes were fucking popping out on stalks.
Too many merchandising opportunities as well. I was like, oh, look his bike. Oh, I can imagine that being in the shops by Christmas.
It does make you want to run people through with a Palatoy plastic lightsaber, doesn't it?
Yes.
This was the thing. It got better. It didn't disappoint. Well, it kind of did. You're kind of expecting to be really, really, really good, and it wasn't. It was only pretty good. But it got darker. Once it got going, it was very good. Especially the bit where Anakin Skywalker was being consumed by lava pits, which was very nice.
Being consumed by the headache from hell.
Tense, nervous headache.
Get lightsaber.
Do you know the funny thing about a lightsaber? You can actually just go up to someone like that, right next to their skin, and then turn it on, and zoom.
Instant surgery. But I'm surprised no one's done, and maybe because everyone gets sued off their arse, no one's done a porn version.
Mm.
With dildos, lightsaber dildos. Mm. It's like, you know, porn wars. That would be good. Anyway, so that's it for our little sci-fi.
Actually, we did come up with a couple of alternative titles, which was episode 3, Sith Happens. So long and thanks for all the Sith. And are you taking the Sith, you fucking Sith head?
And what about, yeah, it's a shame it wasn't done in Dolby, because then they could have taken the Sith out. Before I thought of... What was it? The Wayne's World version of Star Wars. Darth Garth. I like that. Darth Garth.
Party on, Leia.
So that's brought to the end of the show. You can find out more about Radio Clash at...
Telepathy.com,
which is www.radio... No, I always get that wrong. www.mutantpop.net/radioclash, and you can email me at radioclash@mutantpop.net, and you can email Kirk at...
enlightenment.com.
Adobe Enlightenment.com. So we've now got the final smoochy song of the evening, where you can all dance together in slow motion and pretend like you like each other.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, it's not. We seem to have got into this routine of doing a slightly amusing, funny song at the end. I don't know why. It is by
Bill Bailey.
Bill Bailey.
Cool.
Okay, I went to see him doing one of his stand-up shows before Christmas, and the song I wanted to play, which I thought was on here but isn't. One of the funny things he does is that he'll do a cover version of one song in the style of another. The one I wanted was Zippity Doodah Day, done in the style of Portishead, complete with theremin.
I've heard that.
That's a theremin.
It was a Moomin.
It's not on this, though. It could be a Moomin as well, actually. So, actually, we bought this album, which is thined. Look, thined.
You signed it?
He signed it just for me, yeah. So we're going to play this instead, which goes like thus.
I used to buy my chips from an oppressive chip shop regime. The girl who worked there, she seemed happy, but I knew it was not what it seemed. Do you want salt and vinegar? Was what they made her say. But in the language of the ghetto, that means help, I'm a woman in chains. I wanted to free her. In my dreams I would see her running naked through the woods around Raynham. If I had some tigers I'd train them to protect her from the sexual fascism that was lurking round the gherkins. Yeah. I'd lean across the counter and we would talk. I carved the name Debbie on a little wooden fork. But into the shop came a skinhead gang. They snatched a fork from my hand.
Debbie, she looked at me to assert my masculinity. I said, oi! They said, what? I said, nothing.
Thank you.
On the sea, my desire is always to get pissed. Oh, mug of large wine.
Oh, doing what, Spice Girls now? You know they're going to reform.
Are you recording this?
Yeah. I was recording that little bit.
Change of your tone of voice?